That was our sins, they are many, but his mercies are more. What a wonderful truth that is. Thank God for the mercies of God. So if you have your Bible there this morning, I invite you to grab it and have it there with you. And we're going to be in the book, the Old Testament book of Lamentations chapter 3. You may be here today feeling this chaos is just too much. Or I've had enough of all of this. I really have. I can't take much more of this COVID-19 and all this isolation and all this mask wearing and social distancing. I have had enough of it. Do we have any witnesses on that one here today? Yeah. Wow. Do you need peace? Do you need peace to come your way in the midst of all the chaos and the heartaches and the separations? Do you need peace to calm the way? Do you need some new hope to light the way? I mean, if the pandemic isn't enough, and the mask wearing and the isolation from family and friends, and if the racial tensions and conflict is not enough, and if the economic challenges aren't enough, loss of employment, loss of income for some, now you have the storming of the White House and the second wave increase of COVID-19 positive cases here in New Brunswick. People not listening to our government COVID-19 guidelines. My heart goes out to those who have had enough. You are frazzled by all the chaos, all the uncertainty and confusion. And perhaps you've been gripped with some fear, and you're exhausted and you're lonely and you're looking for hope. We're already depleted. We've already weathered hardships. And now all of this. For some, it's been the most difficult year of their lives. And you need encouragement. How many can use a little encouragement today? You need some encouragement, perhaps not just in a little way, but perhaps you need some encouragement in a big way. Well, let's turn to the book of Laments, or the book of sorrows. Lament means sorrows. Or the book of Lamentations. Have you read that book before? Well, it's there. It's there after the book of Jeremiah. And it's written by Jeremiah. And of all places for some answers today about hope, in the book of Laments. Wow. Our Heavenly Father is not put off, or he's not caught off guard by all these lamentations and all this sadness and all these separations and sorrow that's in our world. It doesn't catch God off guard. He knew that sadness and sorrow would come with the territory. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Interesting that Jeremiah, the writer of the book of Lamentations, of course, he wrote the book of Jeremiah, his namesake. He is known as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. He knows what it's like to weep. You ever been there? He knows like what it's like to be sorrowful and saddened over his country and over his nation and over his people. He knows what it's like to weep. And he did a lot of weeping, by the way. If you read Jeremiah and you read Lamentations, he wept over his own people, the Jewish people. He wept over his own city of Jerusalem as it lay desolate in ruins. His heart was broken over his city, all because of people's apathy and disobedience to the Lord. Listen to the weeping prophet's anguish of soul in Lamentations chapter 3. He was facing affliction. Notice verse 1. I am the man, Jeremiah says, who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath, by the rod of God's wrath. He saw the affliction that God had allowed his people because of their disobedience and their apathy in their lives. And then in verse 4, we read, he has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He also experienced a lot of darkness in his life. Verse 2, he has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. He was also encumbered with bitterness and with hardship or woe. Verse 5, he has besieged and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He felt that God didn't answer his prayers. That's Jeremiah. We're in good company, aren't we? Yeah. Verse 8. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. That's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And he even felt that God was using him as a target. Verse 12. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. He was pretty low. He felt ridiculed. He felt belittled by people. Jeremiah, verse 14. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He even felt no peace. Jeremiah, verse 17. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And he felt that his strength and his hope had all gone. Verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. And in verse 20, he says, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. In the NIV, it puts it this way, I will remember them and my soul is downcast within me. I mean, the weariness of it all had come to Jeremiah. And it just wore him down. And his strength was gone, depleted. Jeremiah, you ever been there? Have you too known affliction? Have you ever been encumbered with bitterness and hardship and woe? Have you ever felt that God hasn't answered your prayers? Have you ever felt that God was using you as a target? Have you ever faced a lot of darkness in your life? Have you ever felt no peace and no hope in your life? And just totally weary of life? And at wit's end, if you would. Well, join the club. Jeremiah, the prophet, felt that way. He did. And there are times that I felt that way, and I'm sure you felt that way at times. Let me have a prayer before we go on. Father, bless our time together as we look into this passage, we look into the Word of God more, that we would indeed know that there is hope. And that hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ for whatever we're going through in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So does all this anguish of Jeremiah sound like a man of great faith? Well, I think he was struggling a bit, wasn't he? He was human, right? Like you and I. We struggle sometimes in our faith, do we not? We're in good company. Jeremiah struggled. Keep in mind, Jeremiah, though he was a prophet, yet he was human, just like you and me. And he went through the same struggles that you and I face in the 21st century. And he had some tough times. And so do you and I have tough times. But he served a big God who was very capable to help him through those tough times. Is your God able to help you through your tough times? Here's what we need to do. We need to see what God says, not what man says. And here's what God says, beloved. Lamentations 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to those who seek him. It is good that we should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Here we see that Jeremiah chose to not look around at all those problems that he had just listed in the earlier verses, but he chose to look up. He chose to look up. He chose not to look at horizontal issues going on around him. Do we have some of those around us today? No, he didn't choose to look around at those horizontal things. Instead, he chose to look vertically. He chose to look up to his God, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of Jeremiah. He chose to look up into the heavens. Psalm 121, we look into the heavens. From whence cometh our help? We look up. That's where our help comes. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So Jeremiah chose to focus on the mercies, that is the goodness, the loving kindness of the Lord that are new every morning. Jeremiah chose that. And he chose his compassions that fail not. And he chose his faithfulness that is great. Hence we come to this New Year's essential number two. Set your mind on things, or on God above. Set your mind on God above. So in verses 1 to 20, Jeremiah was focusing on himself and his own struggles in life. But now the tune changes. And beginning in verse 21, he is focusing on the Lord. And that, beloved, is where hope begins. Everything going on in the world today is not going to bring you hope, or me hope. Only Jesus is going to bring us hope. That's where our mind needs to be, is on Jesus. Set your mind on God above. Focusing on the Lord, and that's where hope begins. Notice verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. He recalls who his God is. God full of mercies and compassions and faithfulness. And that's where he makes his choice. How many of you could use a healthy dose of hope? If we all need a healthy dose of hope, the obvious question is how do you generate hope? Well, the Bible has the answer, amen? Verse 21 to 26, we just read it. And so, dear people, you remove hope from your life, you're gone. You and I cannot survive without hope. We all need hope. And there's only one way we're going to get it, and that's through Jesus Christ and a relationship of faith and trust in him in our lives. Turn off the news for a little while anyways, right? Turn off the news. Turn off the TV for a little while. Or the online news, TV news or online news. And turn off the Facebook for a little while. Turn off social media for a little while. And recall to mind. Have a fast from it if you need to. And recall to mind, get your mind away from all that, and recall to your mind, just what Jeremiah did. Recall to your mind the goodness, hallelujah, and the mercies of God, hallelujah, and the faithfulness of God. Listen to what God says, not what everybody else is saying out there. Whether it be on TV or on the internet, social media, Facebook, listen to what God says. Listen to God, beloved. Get in his word every day. Before you even touch any of that stuff, you should be in the word of God, meditating on it, reading it, and studying it. Before you turn your electronic devices on, get into the word of God. Fill your mind with his word. Read his love letter, the Bible. Study more, meditate on it more, memorize it more. Hear it preached. Have a Bible reading plan every day. Isn't that what we need to do? You start focusing on God, and you start focusing on his word and who he is, every day you'll have hope, and you won't be discouraged with everything else that is going on in your world and this world today. So to generate hope in the child of God, we need to focus on who God is and fully trust in him and who he is, and not put our trust in man, or not put our trust in the leaders of our lives or of our land. So to generate hope in the child of God and in our hearts, in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the uncertainty and perhaps disappointments and fears, focus your life on the same three pursuits that Jeremiah did here in Jeremiah or Lamentations chapter 3. Pursuit number one, set your mind on the Lord. Set your mind on the Lord. Who is the Lord that you set or fix your mind on? It's the Lord Almighty, Jehovah God, the self-existence creator of the universe, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the ever-present God is who we fix our mind on. That God who is loving to you and me, who loves you and me. And I like how the Apostle Paul put it in Colossians chapter 3, where he says this in Colossians 3 and verse 1. This is what he says. If then you be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ is sitting, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Then he says this, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Be heavenly minded, right? Be thinking more of things above, of who God is and what he's done for you. So first of all, set or fix your mind on his mercies that are new every morning. Verse 22 of Lamentations says, though through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. The word mercies is a great word, is it not? Do you need some of his mercies today? Well, guess what? They're fresh and they're new every morning that you need them. And throughout your day, the mercies of God are there as we seek them. The word mercies here is translated loving kindness, or steadfast, loyal love. That's the mercies of God. In fact, the New American Standard Version puts it this way, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Isn't that good news or what? It really is. His loving kindness is never ends. It's there every morning, new and fresh. His loving kind and his compassions are yours, and they're mine every day, morning, noon, and night. His mercies are there for you, beloved. Dr. Charles Stanley, in his book, Waiting on God, said this, you can always rely on the Father's faithful love for you to guide you throughout your day, to comfort you in difficulty, and to lead you into the future. No matter how you failed yesterday or what burdens you have to carry today, his love for you is fresh and new and steadfastly unwavering. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can know for certain that he is working on your behalf every day of your life. End of quote. So the prophet Jeremiah here is telling us, fix your mind on the one who is always bringing about newness. He's always bringing about a fresh start. We can all start again. And this new year is a good time to start again, because his mercies are new every morning. We can start every day with a new slate, another chance at a better, brighter day ahead or future ahead. There is never a time we can say it'll never be better. Knowing that his mercies are new every morning, there is always hope, beloved, for a better day. and a better year ahead for his people. Knowing his mercies are new every morning, there's always hope for a better day. That brings hope to my heart, and I hope it brings hope to your heart. Even in the midst of COVID-19 and all that we went through in the past year of 2020, keep reminding yourself, as I do, that God is a good and a merciful God, and his mercies are new and fresh to me and you every day. Secondly, fix or set your mind on his faithfulness. Verse 23b, he says here, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah is speaking of God, his God. Is God faithful or what? Has God been faithful to you?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Has God ever let you down? No, never does he? He's always there. In fact, great is his faithfulness. We sang that hymn, great is thy faithfulness. Here we have one of the greatest attributes of God, the faithfulness of God. Amen?
Amen.
God is faithful. He's never unfaithful. That doesn't mean he always does things the way we think he might be, but he's God, so he has that right to do that. But whatever he does, he's faithful. Amazing enough, this was just after Jeremiah spoke of all the hardships and the struggles and the darkness that he was experiencing from verse 1 basically to verse 19. Yet God was faithful to him. How do we know he is faithful? Well, number one, he is trustworthy. That is, we can, with all of our hearts, trust God. Amen?
Amen.
You and I, dear ones, need to be eternally and intimately related to someone totally trustworthy. That's God. No one else can measure up to who God is as totally trustworthy. But you can with God, because he is totally trustworthy. Not only is he trustworthy, he is truthworthy. He is truthworthy. That is, everything he communicated to Israel or to us today is truthworthy. Titus 1:2 says that this about the Lord, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. The phrase cannot lie translates a single Greek word meaning truthful, free from all deceit, in other words. You ever have people be deceitful to you? You ever had anyone lie to you? Maybe a family member even? Maybe a friend? Maybe a neighbor, maybe someone you have worked with, or maybe another Christian, of all people, even has lied to you, who you would have least ever expect. You cannot trust people to tell the truth, but you can totally, beloved, trust God to tell the truth and never break his word or his promises. Hallelujah. Number three, he is time worthy. He is time worthy, not only trustworthy and truthworthy, he is time, T-I-M-E, worthy. In other words, he is faithful all the time. How many believe that?
Amen.
Some of you aren't sure. No. He is trustworthy all the time. The Bible, in fact, says his faithfulness endures forever. He's faithful to his character. He's faithful to his counsel. That is his purposes. He's faithful to his covenant, his promises. He's faithful to his church, and he's faithful to his children. That's you and me. Amen. He's faithful to all who know him as Lord and Savior. Pursuit number two, secure yourself in the Lord. Secure yourself in the Lord. And as we see this taught in verse 24 here of Lamentations, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. The word portion here pictures God as one who supplies security in this life and in the life to come, security. Yes, land and wealth can bring a measure of temporary economic stability, but only having the Lord as one's portion can provide lasting and genuine security. So yes, the Lord is my portion, Jeremiah said. In other words, the Lord is enough for me. Huh? Is the Lord enough for you? The Lord is my portion. He was enough for Jeremiah in all that Jeremiah was going through and the people of Israel were going through. It's like Jeremiah is saying, although the world may be going crazy and in total chaos, I have all that I need if I have the Lord. Do you have the Lord, beloved? Then, beloved, you have all you need. Hallelujah. Can you, like Jeremiah of old, say that? The Lord is my portion. I have all I need. Remember the psalmist David? He could say that too, right? Even when his sheep were being attacked by a lion, he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23, verse 1. Or as one preacher put it, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. And you too have all you need in your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the Lord your shepherd? Then why are you so troubled? Why are you so doubtful and so this or that? When the Lord is your shepherd, is he not capable to look after you and me as his sheep? I think so. I think so. We need to declare that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my portion. I have all I need in Jesus Christ. Since I have the Lord, I have all I need. Like David's, secure yourself in your relationship with the Lord. Yet many today, even some Christians, are trying to secure themselves in their pocketbooks and in their possessions, their nice home, their nice car, their nice travel home, their nice yacht. Or some are securing themselves in people you are with, and some in places that they go, or in popularity, having more friends or many friends that I have. Instead, like Jeremiah, secure yourself in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, your identity as a Christian, a Christ follower, is not in what you wear. It's not in how you look, or it's not in how much money you have, or how talented you are, or how smart you are, or how athletic you are, or how many friends you have. Your identity is in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have that, you have enough. And that's why the Apostle Paul admonished us to know Christ and to press on to being more like Jesus and having that desire of a deeper relationship with him. And you can read about that in Philippians chapter 3, beginning there, verse 8, down to verse 14. Paul was all about that, having that relationship. He was passionate about that. He was striving to that end. As an athlete strives to the finish line, he was striving in his life to be more like Jesus and have a deeper relationship with Jesus and to know Jesus more. Does that not sound like a man with passion? The Apostle Paul, he was. He had a desire for a deeper relationship. So our security is in knowing that God knows everything and that he's omniscient and that he's all-knowing, and therefore nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing takes him off guard or catches him off guard. And I like what the Bible teacher and author David Tripp said. Be at peace this morning, because everything that confuses or overwhelms or disturbs you has not taken your Lord by surprise. End of quote. So for Jeremiah, his mindset changed when, instead of remembering the wormwood and the gall, symbolizing the bitterness of judgment upon Jerusalem and its destruction and the horrible taste that it left in the mouths of all who endured it, instead, Jeremiah chose to remember God's faithfulness. That's the Lord's mercies and compassions that never failed him, that moved him from despair to hope. And this is the faith that made it possible for him to say, in the midst of all the chaos and all the grief and the ruin, now I have hope. Pursuit number three, real quickly here today. Seek the Lord before anything. Seek the Lord before anything. Verse 25b, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Seek the Lord before anything. The word seek here is a verb. It's an action word, right? It's a verb. And it means to attempt to find something, like seeking shelter from a storm. Or it means to desire, to obtain, seek. Or it means to ask for something from someone, like seeking help from a police officer, perhaps, when you need it. Seek. And in the Bible, we observe four aspirations for seeking the Lord before anything. Seek the Lord to be revived. 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I heal their land and forgive their sins. And then seek the Lord first to be provided. Seek the Lord to be revived. Seek the Lord to be provided. Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all the things that you and I have need of, will be added to us. And then seek him to be answered. Luke 11:10, speaking of prayer, Jesus says, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then seek him wholehearted. Seek him wholehearted, not just half-hearted, but wholehearted. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with some of your heart. No, with your whole heart, you seek him. With your whole heart and with your whole soul, you will find him. So during the prophet Jeremiah's day, Israel faced a year of drought and difficulty. Sounds like what we've been facing, right? Somewhat of a drought. COVID-19 has been a difficulty. A year of challenge Jeremiah had faced, to say the least. Because his people had forsaken the Lord, and God was judging. And then the Lord says to Israel through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17, he says in verse 5 of Jeremiah 17, he says, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, cursed is the man who trusts in man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. We're not going to be blessed if we don't seek the Lord, right? And if we depart from the Lord, we choose to walk away from the Lord and choose to go at it in our own strength and in our own flesh and without the Lord's help, we're not going to be blessed. And then he says this, and I like what he says here in verse 7. Blessed. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? Is the man or the woman who trusts in the Lord. And notice this, whose hope is in the Lord. Isn't that good? That's the answer, beloved, isn't it? That's the answer for you and for me. I think this year has been a rough year. It's been a year of drought, if you would, and difficulty. And of challenge. For some, it's been the hardest year they've ever faced. Beloved, happy is the man or the woman who puts their trust in the Lord and whose hope is in him. There's the answer. You see, what he gives you when you trust in him, no one can take away. And that's why you and I must keep our eyes fixed or stayed on Jesus in these challenging and in these tough days. Jeremiah learned to do that. And it was a choice that he had to make. And you and I must make that same choice, to choose to fix our mind on Jesus and put our trust in him and our hope in him. So you and I, if to experience hope, must look at our difficult circumstances through the eyes of faith and trust in God's presence and power fully. And as we do, we will know peace in our hearts and in our minds. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, or his focus is set, is fixed on Jesus, because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26, 4. I'm going to close with this quote from Bible teacher and author Warren Wiersbe, who said this: unbelief causes us to look at God through our circumstances, and this creates hopelessness. But faith enables us to look at our circumstances through the reality of God, and this gives us look at your circumstances and you'll be distressed. Look at your Lord and you will be blessed. Hallelujah. You will be blessed as you look to the Lord. Oh, that we would never forget that in these days of uncertainty and difficulty and struggles and care and chaos, there is calm in the presence of the Lord. Amen and amen.